Hello. All right, we are. All right, great, great, guys. Well, Adrian, we didn't really talk about it, but there's some things that just kind of share with you tonight. If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is something we've been reading lately. Things have definitely shifted in the spirit realm. And I kind of concur with what Adrian, you know, a lot of the things that we've done in the past are just, things have changed and they're continuing to change the way we do church. And especially the time and the seasons, you know, the Bereans, it said there in the book of Acts that they understood the times and the seasons. And we need to be aware of the times and seasons, what's going on. And, you know, it's easy to play ostrich and put our head in the sand, but tonight I want to talk about more in depth about interceding for people, okay? There is something by, you know, if we're faith, we're believing for things that we're believing for, but right now is the season to intercede, okay? If you haven't noticed, everything's kind of on fire lately, right? There is a fire sale going on. There's just crazy stuff going on all around us, but and again, it doesn't mean we don't believe things for ourselves. What it does mean is, what is the purpose right now? What is the Holy Spirit telling us to do? And again, if the only time we pray is for the Lord to help us with something and to believe for something for ourselves, then we're missing the mark, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we don't pray for things and we don't believe for ourselves, but what it does mean is that we need to intercede for other people, right? And I notice that sometimes, you know, you ever notice, so God, the whole body in general, there's certain particular areas where I know that there's some denominations are really heavy on feeding people, and there's some other people are really hospitality, and we all have our strengths. One of the areas of opportunities that we have to improve in this area is to intercede for the lost, okay? And that's something that you know, we're really good about talking about believing God for things and what we need, and I don't want to take away from that. But what we do need to focus on is, you know, more of praying and interceding for the lost, interceding for our government. We're going to talk more about that. But, and again, the reason for intercession is, and that this will focus, and we're going to focus on intercession, interceding for other people. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this: if my people, how many are my people? Amen. Do we have any of God's people here today? My people, that's me, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and what? Heal their land. We need our land healed right now, don't we? We need God to show up in a massive way and to do some things, right? And, you know, things in this country will not change if we don't pray. What I mean by that, and we're going to talk more about it here in a minute, you know, when we've got politicians that are folding their hands and giving up and not saying anything or doing anything, and again, leaders, they're letting things go to pot. We're seeing a lot of the church is just kind of checked out, you know. I see a lot of people aren't even talking about any stuff, you know. I don't know what's fear or what it is. But the point is, we've got to pray out the plan. We've got to pray for this, because it's like anything else. Have you ever, like, talked to somebody? And I'm going to share some scripture with you in a minute. Have you ever talked to somebody, and it's like, it doesn't matter what you talk about, they're never going to agree with you, or they're never going to see your point of view, and they don't care to, right? Well, there's darkness on some people. I have people I've witnessed to in the past and I've prayed for in the past, and they eventually got born again. But before I started praying for them and spending time travailing for them, they were on a path of destruction, right? One guy in particular, my uncle, was always that. I always prayed for him. And, you know, he's always drinking and smoking and all kinds of other stuff. And he's the guy that you're like looking and thinking, there's no way this guy's going to get born again. Never, ever, ever, right? He is just lost as a goose, right? Well, what happened? He got born again, started going to Spirit-filled church. He passed away a few years ago, and I ended up doing his funeral. And what was the greatest thing for me? Because it was a pleasure for me because I did his funeral and got to celebrate him being born again and Spirit-filled, and his wife got born again. That was such a treat for me, right? Now, I hate to see him go, but the awesome thing was he was born again. He's in heaven now, right? And so he would have never changed unless I spent time praying for him, interceding for him. People will not get it unless we pray for them, unless we allow God to do some things, right? Just like in the days of Moses, when Pharaoh came, Moses, he kept warning Pharaoh, right? He kept warning Pharaoh. Let me just tell you something. People just don't get it sometimes. They are thick in the skull. Pharaoh was thick in the skull. He had all of these plagues come along. Everything was absolutely, and what his pride, and he didn't care. And then it finally took the firstborn of every family for them to finally let him release. And then after that, then he still came after him in the desert. Yeah. And they were in the back of a Red Sea. And the amazing thing is God still opened up doors and God still protected his people and he still provided and he did those things. Even on the other side of the Red Sea. But the point is this, some people just aren't going to get it, and we've got to allow God to deal with people. I mean, we can prove, you know, it's like anything else. You can prove without a shadow about something, but somebody is still going to go, I don't believe that. I don't think so. And what's it going to do? It's got to take God opening up people's eyes. And that's what we need to do. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8, this is the New Living Translation, and it says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Now, we are not angry with people. We don't hate people, but we know that this world system here, we need to intercede for people. We need to pray for them. We need God to do some things. But it says here what? Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Why does it say give thanks for them? There's a pattern in the Bible. And number one is pray. Number two, it's praise him or thank him. And then when that does happen, then thank him for what he did. So when we're praying, we're asking him, we're petitioning him, we're saying, God, we need these things to happen. Then we begin to praise him and thank him for all the things that he has done in the past, right? And the word says, let's not forget all of his benefits. So we always continue to look and see what God has done for us in the past. Then when it happens, right? Then we thank God for the answered prayer. Well, you know, thankful people are the ones, especially Christians, we are the ones when we're thankful is we have faith, right? Because we know he did it in the past. We know he's going to do it again. We've got to get out of the mentality that somebody just doesn't listen to us, then we give up. We've got to get into the mentality that God is at work, his ministering spirits are going forth, we are praying for people, and they will change. Amen? And the devil lies to us and says we're not doing any good. Nobody's listening to us and everything. Yeah, they may not, but things can change. And I have a number of people that I've prayed for in the past, and they've gotten born again, and they've changed. Let's read on verse 2. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live what? Peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Now, I have prayed for presidents and people whom I don't agree with. The Bible doesn't say you pray only for this person who you agree or who you voted for, you didn't. There are people I prayed for that I don't agree with anything that comes out of their mouth, but I'm doing what the Bible says because I'm a Bible, right? I am not perfect and you're not perfect and we've all made mistakes. But the point is this, we're going to pray for those people that God says that we live quiet and peaceable lives. You can run if you want to. If you want to shout, you can do that. And it says, this is good and it pleases God our Savior. See, I do it because it pleases God, right? God wants peace. Law enforcement, it says that it is the arm of the Lord. I know a lot of people are against the law enforcement right now. But what does it do? It says that it enforces, they are servants of God. Those who protect the law, right? Because what is the law there for? It is what? To withhold the people who are lawless, the word says. In verse 3, This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone, what? To be saved, and what? To understand the truth. Guys, the point of intercession is, and the point of praying for those in authority, and the point of praying for kings, and the point of praying those in authority, it all comes down to right here, and it says that those, that everyone, what? Be saved, and what? Understand the truth. What it does is when we pray for righteousness, when we just read there, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that when we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways, and it says He'll hear us from heaven, and what? He'll come and heal our land. What does that mean? He'll bring righteousness back into the land again. We need righteousness right now. And we desperately need it right now more than ever. Then when we know that when we pray for kings and those in authority, the end result is it is pleases God, and, what's it say? So that everyone would be saved and understand the truth. That's more important than you getting your new car, right? This is more important than us getting that upgraded house. There's nothing wrong with those things, okay? We're not against prosperity, because I'm definitely for prosperity. But I think that we as Christians need to get our priorities straight again. We need to refocus and say, retool ourselves and rethink about some things and say, this has got to be a kingdom. We've got to get on our face. Because why? Because things won't change unless God intervenes. I can get on YouTube. We can get on Facebook. I can get on the latest networks or whatever, and we can say these things. But without the power of the Holy Spirit working on people behind the scenes, we're not going anywhere. It becomes religion. We become a club with no power and no emphasis and no change on people's lives, right? And then it says, there is one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and humanity, which is who? Jesus, right? Christ Jesus. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. And this is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth, and I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. See, some people think this is an exaggeration, right? Oh, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, this is crazy. Ephesians chapter 6. We desperately need, we have got to have intercession, amen? We've got to have intercession. We've got to pray. This is something the Holy Spirit's just been really dogging me about lately. I can't, every time I'm, because obviously He's trying to get a point across to me, and He's trying to get a point across to us. He needs prayer going up for God to be able to, it can release, and he can have his hands free, and he can go forth and do what he wants on the earth, right? I don't care about Democrats. I don't care about Republicans. I don't care about whatever. I care about what God has to say, okay? I don't trust any of them, to tell you the truth. But my point is this, I only trust God, and I put my trust and faith in Him, right? And there are things that shouldn't be political, like killing babies. I mean, that shouldn't be a political issue. It just should be a right or wrong issue. How does this stuff creep into politics? I don't understand it. It's sick. It's barbaric, right? We've got to come into righteousness. And I'd be attacked for saying these things outside of these walls, many people. But how do we get to the point where, see, our mind is so warped, and we've been along this train so long that our thinking is so warped that this is okay. And perverted lifestyle living, it's just, it's immoral. And what it does, it blocks things up. And sin, it hardens people's hearts so they can't connect with God. And that's really it. It doesn't, again, guys, I'm not here for my, I don't care who listens to me or take whatever. The main point I want to get across is God is the most important thing. We need to connect with God. God is the one that can help you. I can't. God is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one that can set you free. I'm just a messenger. And I know that He's a good God, and He wants to set us free, and He wants to set the people in the world free, and He wants to do these, wants bring righteousness in His Holy Spirit to be able to change things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the New Living Translation. Praise God. Amen. This praying in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Praying always. It means we're constant, staying alert, and being persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You know, I know that, and I hold truth to so much of what Brother Hagin taught. He's my papa in the faith, and I love him and Pastor Hagin, and I owe so much to them, and Brother Hagin is so wonderful. But you know, Brother Hagin has a message. He had a mandate. Now, again, I've seen his archives, and when I was at Rhema, I saw he's got just tons of... He had a mandate from God to teach faith, okay? And that's what God gave him, and he ran with it. And it's amazing. When we need to learn about faith. And again, Brother Hagin did talk about other things, but there's so many things he didn't talk about, right? And so many people in the church, they want to, especially that came from me, but all they want to do is teach what Brother Hagin taught. Well, I want to teach that too. But there's so many other things he didn't talk about. And when we look here, and there's so many things he does, and I love his stuff, I know that the Apostle Paul says we're not supposed to have favorites, but he's my favorite, okay? I'll let it out. Forgive me, okay? I'm sorry. Sorry, Paul. I said it out loud. But he's one of the guys, Brother Hagin, he is my favorite. But we see here, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then Paul says, and pray for me too, right? Why does he say pray? Why does he say pray for believers? You know, we have the misconception sometimes that, you know, because we're Word of Faith people and we're going to do it and all, just me and God and that's it. That's not true. There is so much in here. I was sharing, I believe it was Wednesday night in prayer, about there, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, or Saul at the time, and they were separated, says, separate there unto the work that I've called you to, the Holy Spirit, in the middle of a prayer group, prayer time. Well, they're in Acts chapter 13. You can go look at it later. But during that time, we see that, and I ask a question too. How come Saul and Barnabas didn't pick it up in their own private prayer time? You ever think about things like that? So we have a kind of, I kind of throw this out to you for your consideration, all right? Because you don't have any right. I mean, I'm secure enough. You have the right to believe nothing I say tonight, okay? But again, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to have to bear witness with you. But I think about things like Saul and Barnabas. How come they didn't catch the calling of God in a private prayer time? Well, that leads me to believe too, and we see here too. How come John and Peter, James and John, when James was executed, beheaded, how come he wasn't delivered, but the other apostle was delivered when the church prayed? So that tells me that there are some things that we can't accomplish without corporate prayer, right? There's just some things we've got to team up together to pray out some things, okay? That I don't know why. I don't understand it. But the Apostle Paul, he could have said, I don't need prayer because I'm praying. Because, you know, really, the Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all, right? So there in the book of Acts, he said, I'm praying in tongues more than anybody else. Why did he come back and say, and please pray for me too? Mind-blowing, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul was a tongue-talking machine, and he still came out and said, please pray for me. Because that corporate prayer anointing was powerful. He needed it, and we need it. That's why it's important. That's why I really don't believe that you can be a Christian successfully without coming to church. Because there's too many components. What? There's the serving part. There's the assembling ourselves together. There's the corporate prayer and the corporate worship time that you can't just do all on your own. There's so many things, right? And that's what's difficult during the quarantine. I mean, it's like, you know, thank God we're out of it now. We're coming out of it. Amen? And then he says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles. Like, wait a minute here. What's corporate prayer again for? It's right here. It's spelled out again. So he can speak boldly, right? And that he can make God's mysterious plan manifest. Hello? This is good stuff. I'm sorry. I'm getting happy. I'm just, if this is boring you, I'm sorry. Well, but what's it say? The corporate prayer anointing is to provide power and so that God's plan will become manifest. I'm preaching really good tonight. I'll tell you that right there. And it says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. The Apostle Paul is telling, please pray so that I can still have boldness. Yeah. Craziness. This kind of shoots the theory and the philosophy of people in the foot that I can just be what I want to. I don't need any other Christians. I'm just going to be Lone Ranger, baby. Yeah. Woo! That's right. I don't even need Tonto. It's just me and, you know, I don't even need silver. It's just me, baby. I'm just hot stuff, you know. No, that's not. That the Bible clearly says, if the Apostle Paul needed people praying for him, and he said, please pray for me that I speak boldly, that this message would get out, and please pray, help me, help me. And the Paul is sitting there, he's like, I pray in tongues more than you all. That means that we need corporate prayer. It doesn't matter what kind of a spiritual giant you think you are. I've known this, that the people who are the most, some of the people that are that I've been around that are the most just full of character, they're very humble people. They're very humble people. And they're people that come and say, I don't have all the answers, but I'm still in the process of getting them, right? I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you what, I'm digging in this thing, and I do want to connect with him that has all the answers. And I get really nervous around people who have all the answers. So I get my jogging shoes on and run, right? And they're bright green, yellow. They're really cool too, and they light up in the dark and run from those people, right? There's only one person. His name is Jesus, and he got his revelation while he was on the earth, led by the Holy Spirit. So again, the point for us to pray in the Spirit at all times is for God's plan to be manifest, right? There are times when speaking, right? And there are times, this comes back to, you know, we can put face on post things on Facebook and talk to people and call people. And again, they're going to be just like in Darren Headlight, and they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about, but the Holy Spirit has got to open their eyes, right? I don't get mad at people who don't agree with me. It's just, I just understand that maybe they don't have the revelation yet. And I'm not saying, again, take that in the right way. I'm not being arrogant when I do say that they just don't understand, their eyes aren't aligned. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is this: I rely on the truth in God's word, right? And so that's what I pounder myself after. That's what I want to strive for, okay? Not that I'm this, have all the answers and I know everything, because I don't. But what I am saying is God's truth is what is eternal, and it'll last forever once you and I are gone and the United States and this world and every other nation is gone. His word is still going to stand true, right? Because that's what the word says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going a little later tonight because we're digging in, amen? And we need to understand intercession, corporate prayer, and I'm just scratching the surface. I'm not even really digging into anything tonight, but I'm giving you some general stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, New Living Translations. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, hold on. Pump the brakes. It's all right. I like to think of it this way, and I have little easy things. Timothy is all the T's together, right? You got Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You got 1st and 2nd Timothy. You got all the T's. You got Titus. It's all just boom, 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 right there, okay? So they're all the T's are together. 1st Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. See, if we don't have the screams, you got to bring your Bibles. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, breaking my heart. 1st Timothy 4. 1 and 2 says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, this is New Living Translation, that in the last time some will turn away from the truth, the true faith. Don't let that be you, okay? There's so many opportunities for people to turn away from the truth, right? We're seeing that all the time. And it's gradual. You know, the state our country is in right now, it's a gradual thing. You know? I mean, look at the things 20, 30 years ago that, you know, people thought were crazy until now. It's a gradual thing, right? It's not, anyway, it's going to get crazier. But they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Guys, this stuff, I'm telling you right now, is not just because of, well, it's a spirit behind it, right? It's a spirit behind it. Now, who would ever think that, you know, you've got people that are going out and destroying property, and then other people come back and go, oh, well, they're just, you know, it's a festive event, and Excuse me? Excuse me. I'm sorry. Stealing was wrong in kindergarten, and it's still wrong. I like that. Everything you learned in kindergarten, that's all you need to know, right? Hello? These are my shoes, teacher, and I put my feet in them, right? These are my crayons because my mommy and daddy bought me these crayons, right? So, again, but what is it? It's a spirit at work, isn't it? It's a spirit at work where things that just are just completely psychotic and nuts, and it says these people are hypocrites and liars, and what? Their conscience are dead. Does anybody have the King James on that last part? Is it their conscience, does it say seared? The very last line there. And their conscience are, you don't have King James, do you, Adrian?
I have the Living.
What do you have on the Living? Just read the whole thing. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Read both those together out of yours.
But the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some in the church will turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with devil-inspired ideas. These teachers will tell lies with a straight face and do it so often that their consciences won't even bother them.
Won't even bother. Who else has got? Is that King James? Anybody got King James Version for chapter 5? Or 2, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, the last one.
But you.
Having their conscience seared. Seared.
Yep, that's King James. It's got, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Hey, Adrian. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, I can always count on Mr. Gary, so Mr. Gary's awesome. All right, we could all be as awesome as Mr. Gary. So their conscience, what's that mean? It's seared. It means they don't have the ability, and then that's the same statement in Romans chapter 1, verses 27, right? When it talks about those people that are given over to, you know, alternative lifestyles and everything, and it says their consciences are seared. What that means is they don't have the ability anymore to determine right and wrong. Okay? That's what it says. You can read the interpretation. I have the paraphrase in that within the King James Bible, right? It just means they don't have the ability. And it says that God has turned them over to what? A reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? The reprobate mind means it's void of judgment. It means they don't even have the ability anymore to make right, rational decisions. That's what this is, right? Why? Because their mind is so, they've turned over themselves over to a reprobate mind, okay? Their conscience is seared, okay? And what that means is they could do whatever they want, and they're not bothered by it anymore. It's just whatever, you know? 2 Chronicles, let's turn here. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Verse 3 through 5. I got this amplified. It's the same one. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. This is a different one. 2 Corinthians, excuse me. 10, 3 through 5. New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians. Or 2 Corinthians, however you want to say that, guys. So it's just, you choose it. So it's either 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. New Testament. Sorry. New Testament Bible. Or New Testament. 10, verse 3 through 5. And I'm reading a New Living Translation. I got a couple of them I'm going to read from. The Classic Amplified. I have to determine that now because there's now two Amplifieds out there. It's like, my gosh. I got to say, you just can't say Amplified anymore. Which one? Excuse me? Gee, Manelli, how many Amplifieds do we need, really? Come on, guys. Apparently, they'll probably have a part three coming out. But now, usually, the original is better. The sequel is not as good as the original, right? Right. So same with King James, right, Adrian? The original, since Jesus spoke in King James, right? Thee thou us, right? You don't know nothing. What are you talking about? 2 Corinthians, not Chronicles, 10, 3 through 5, New Living Translation says, we are humans. That we are. But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. So what are we going after here, guys? We are going after thoughts, because that's really what the devil comes along. He's putting thoughts in your head. Mr. Gary was talking about fear earlier, correct? That's a thought. A fear is a thought. You're going to give in to the snakes, the spiders, the whatever it is. The tornado, whatever it is that you're afraid of, it's That's what we're going to combat against here. And it says, and we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. What's the obstacle from knowing God? See, this is where we're attacking here. We got it. And again, as Christians, we need to stop thinking of everything passive and just we're just prancing around a little clouds, and God's going to take care of us, and everything's wonderful. We need to stop taking the defense and start taking the offense in the spirit realm, right? Right. So, you know, we look at revivals of the past. We look at, in Ireland, they had a tremendous revival, and you study that, and you see just a couple little old ladies that just prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. In the physical, they're weak, you know, but they did some massive things, and they spent time with God, and then through that, they were able to usher in some things. What happened? They began to stir the spirit realm, and then through that, there was healings, and all these things happened, and God moved, and through that, what happened? Strongholds were pulled down. So I said strongholds were pulled down, and it says here, let's read that last part. We destroy every proud obstacle, because really, let's just say this. The thing that hindered in the Garden of Eden, what happened there? Adam and Eve partook, and they decided that they knew what was best over what God's commandment was, right? We know what's better. And what was it? Was a proud obstacle, right? That seed that was sown into their thinking by the serpent that day. Well, we can overcome those. And it says, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. After you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Amplified says this, for we walk or live in the flesh. We are not carrying on our welfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons, right? So we're not looking at the natural realm. We're going after it in the spiritual realm. For example, all of the stuff going on that we're seeing in our nation and everything, you know, we can, it's completely mind-boggling. Why? Because it's a spiritual problem that we're having right now. That's it. I mean, this is absolutely the nuttiest stuff I've ever seen, and it's going to only get worse. But we can step in and pray. And then it goes on, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the what? Overthrow and destruction of strongholds. That's what we're after tonight, guys, is the overthrow of strongholds in this nation and the people around us, right? Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So, what's that mean? I don't know. No, I'm kidding. But are you awake?
Yeah.
Are you awake? You still awake on me? What it does mean is we get into the spirit realm. We take authority. We begin to speak out things. We pray for the king. We just prayed that, and those in authority, why? So that we live a peaceable life, and that God's mysterious plan would be revealed to people. That's really why. God, above more anything else, wants peace on the earth, right? He wants peace for your life. And the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We see it there in John 10:10, right? He is about destruction. He's about confusion. He's about bringing things up. He's about, when we have peace in our life, what does peace bring? Well, that anytime we have peace in our life, then we're able to focus on things, focus on Him, focus on helping. For example, you know, poor people, they just can't help anybody, right? If you're full of stress and confused, and how are you going to help anybody else? How are you going to pray for? What are you going to do? You have nothing to give. For example, if you don't have any money, you don't have any money to sow to the church. You don't have any money to give to poor people. We don't have anything. But when we're able to pray in things and people are born again, people are financially blessed, God's manifest some things, then that is the breeding ground for holiness and for prosperity and for blessings, isn't it? And the most important thing is what to be able for God's glorious plan to be manifest here on the earth. And what is that? That they're forgiven, they're set free, and they don't need to be in bondage anymore. Amen. But what's it going to do? It's going to take corporate prayer. It's going to take all of us coming together, praying out this plan, getting a passion to see things, right? And again, this isn't political. This isn't anything else. This is a God thing. I want God to manifest, right? Because it says there in Matthew chapter 6, with the Lord's Prayer, it says, what's the main thing about this? Why? Well, I mean, Jesus is talking to disciples because they ask him how to pray. It all comes down to his will on earth as what? As it is in heaven. We want heaven to come down on the earth and invade this earth. That's it. Right? So that people are healed. People are set free. People are, you know. We want heaven, the things in heaven, to be here on earth. What are in heaven? There's healing. There's soundness of mind. There's peace. There's joy. Right? There's kindness, gentleness, patience. All of these things in heaven, we want them to come down here and manifest on this earth. And it's going to take corporate prayer. The Apostle Paul said, please pray for me. The guy that prayed more than anybody else in the tongues. The guy that, right? He's like, without that, we're... I thought Paul was bold. You know, he would just like go in places and do things. But he's even praying, pray for me that I'll be bold. Right? I believe we're not seeing a lot of things. And again, just because we're not... Part of it is we're not doing that. Other part is we're just not praying so the anointing will come. And God has a way. I remember just being in Mardi Gras. And, you know, we would spend time, corporate prayer. We prayed weeks before we got there. And when we prayed there, we just see God do amazing things. We saw a guy came back from, he died. A group with us brought him back to life. We saw people healed. You know, we saw guys prophesy over people. You know, and then I ran into somebody that was like, we had this is totally crazy, but we had a, it was by the high school and there was an old house. And this guy had went in places and he stole rare books. And he lived next to the high school. So he had all these, so he got arrested. Well, this guy that I met in Mardi Gras knew this guy. He got born again. They stole all these rare books. It was in the news. It was national news and everything, right? I also ran into a guy that knew my uncle in New Orleans, right? We also ran into a pastor, a Baptist pastor that was backslid down there partying. He repented, right? Okay, just me walking up, none of this stuff's going to happen, right? Now, God can do things, but what is it? We prayed this out for weeks. And God did supernatural things with people. I remember we got a guy born again. He was completely drunk, couldn't even walk. I laid hands on him. We all came around and laid hands on him. He got born again. He became instantly sober. And it freaked him out so bad that, I mean, he was like completely drunk, couldn't even see. He stood, jumped up. Whoa! Freaked out, right? Picked up tracks off the ground and started handing them out to people, right? The power of God hit him. Now, when you're drunk and on drugs and you become instantly sober, that's trippy, right? And that's not me. I can't do anything. I'm just telling you right now, I can't do any of that stuff. I don't have the ability. Nobody does. But God can. And what is it? It's all fueled by prayer, isn't it? And so, you know, that's my heart, is just to pray out the plan. And I'm not here to convince anybody my political ideas or anything. I don't care. Everything that I believe in is because of God, what he wants to do in my life. And I pray out plans for people. Amen? We want to see God do things for people like never before. And it's going to be fueled by prayer. And we're going to pray for you too, every person in this church, that God is going to get this hunger in you. Amen? That the corporate prayer, we need to pray for people. We need to pray for people, right? Because, you know, it's like anything else. Sometimes if you got kids, you feel like, oh, I just told them 1,000 times to not to do this or to do that. But God can come in and do things for you that you can't do. Right? Right? I remember just living my life and then, whoops, And then God supernaturally did some things to me, right? And I remember just being in prayer times. When I was 12 years old, I had open vision and some other things I've never shared. But it was all supernatural. Why? Because it was an environment of corporate prayer. It was an environment of corporate prayer. And many times I've seen angels and, you know, I've seen, not in that, but I've seen just different spirit things in the spirit realm when in the midst of corporate prayer time, in the midst of corporate time together. And so I want to spend just a couple minutes really quick here just to pray corporately, amen? Just for us to pray, amen? Praise God. We build the church one heathen at a time, amen? I was that heathen, amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I know if God can use somebody like me, oh my goodness, I was. We won't say their name, but somebody who I knew years ago was telling Adrian that, oh my gosh, I thought, talking about me one time, they knew me when I was a teenager, and it was like, they were laughing, like, I can't believe that guy is doing what he's doing now. So, you know, I'm just saying there's hope, all right? There's hope, all right? I was crazy back then, but now just change the craziness to Jesus, right? Just
flipped it over.
Right. So, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we'll see y'all. Well, Wednesday night, we're going to pray again. We're going to dive into prayer. Text Adrian, you want to be on that? We're having a good old time. Praying myself happy on Wednesday nights. Amen. Praise God.